Well, Julia, in a stark contrast to yesterday, perhaps the last two games, the Bats came alive down at the Trop. We got a number of bombs, including one from Davis Schneider. But even with Kevin Gausman on the mound, I find it hard to start anywhere else but Justin Turner. This is the Justin Turner is a Blue Jay game. Just three games into the season, four RBI, including a solo home run as a cherry on top, a 9-2 Blue Jays win over the Rays. It guarantees the series split. And you know, that it came at the Trop, a place that we have referred to as the House of Horrors
over
the
last, among other things.
Among
yes.
many other things, perhaps things you can't see on the air. I view that as a win. I really do.
For sure. It's we all knew that this was going to be a tough series to start the season for the Blue Jays. They more than held their own, and when the opportunities presented themselves, they took them. In the middle there, it did seem a little bit dire. It seemed like the Blue Jays were maybe reversing to a lot of what we saw last year. And then you have a game like today that kind of shows that this new approach, this simplified approach, the fact that, you know, strategy is a little more personalized from guy to guy this season, that it's paying off, right? And to talk about Turner, I think it's a classic example of if at first you don't succeed, try again, because he was really trying to hit the ball out of the park. He almost did a couple of times, just missed a grand slam, and everything to the left side, right? So this is where he shines. It's where it's at his best, and he knows it. And there's nothing more valuable than a tried and true player who knows who he is and what he can bring to the table. What we saw, and I believe even the pitch right before his homer was he just missed it. And so you can see that he was really swinging the ball at his best. This is also what we saw a ton of in spring training for Turner. And listen, this is a guy that will swing and miss quite a bit. It is also part of his game, whether you like it or not. But when he's driving the ball the way that he did today, just a triple shy of the cycle, although it's the hardest one to get, it's very encouraging for the Blue Jays. And even more encouraging, Joe, is the fact that it wasn't just him.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Joe Alley. You're listening to Jays Talk. We are live on Sportsnet.ca, on the Sportsnet app, and across the Sportsnet radio network. Give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. Can shoot us a text as well, 590-590, name and location. The people's text line, as I like to say, is always open. I know it's Easter, but you know, if you maybe your Easter dinner plans have not gotten started yet, certainly give us a call,
sure.
Shoot us a text, and we will get you on the air. And Justin Turner, great start to the game, because he did it also against two different pitchers, right? Because the Rays had the opener today. I think it was Sean Armstrong, and then Tyler Alexander saw the bulk of the work, as we knew. Two ABs resulted in three RBI, really solid discipline. And to your point, Turner was brought in to alleviate issues that stemmed from hitting with runners in scoring position for a lot of last year. I think it kind of evened out by the end of the season, but for much of the year, hitting with runners in scoring position was a huge bugaboo for these Blue Jays. And the Jays, on top of needing more just from that overall, they just needed more from their stars today, because there was no Bo Bichette. He was scratched pretty late, right before first pitch, with the neck spasms. And you know, I were talking about this in the pregame show, but you needed more with no Bo from Springer, from Vladdy, and certainly Turner as well. And it was good to see that come through pretty early, because on a day where Kevin Gausman, you knew he wasn't going to go very long, it was nice to have him get some run support very early on. And I think that helped. It seemed to calm everything down pretty much right away.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too that it wasn't one big inning or one big at bat, which is also something that maybe last year we didn't see enough of, is the Blue Jays just piling it on and tacking on those insurance runs and making things easier on the staff, on the coaching staff and on the pitching staff, for John Schneider to be able to send Mitch White out for three innings and really not worry about, you know, will we surrender a lead? Will he be sharp enough to keep this going and to keep the momentum and things like that? That's huge as well. So when the offense is clicking, this is what we see. The entire team has a lot to gain. And that's what we saw today. Gausman, like you said, went to 4 1/3, which is 69 pitches, which is, it's fine,
nice.
Right? We Okay, you take it away. I can't with this. No, I'm kidding. it's a great outing for him. We knew that he was going to be in a little bit of a limit here. We still expect him to be in a limit next time, perhaps around 90 pitches. But as you can see, 69 pitches from Kevin Gausman are as nice as you're going to get it.
I can resist. I'm sorry. Look, to wrap up on Justin Turner as well, real quick, what do you think the chances are that Luis Rivera, had he still been at third base, would have sent Turner in the first inning? If I could pick a number higher than 100%,
right,
I would. Yeah. Absolutely. Carlos Febles, who obviously knows Turner from his days with the Red Sox, and you can actually see, so we get the kind of the dirty feed, as they call
right
it,
on.
Not the clean feed here at Baseball Control. So you can kind of see what the cameras are seeing when it's not going to air. And one of the things they showed in between one of the innings, Julia, was Turner, he was kind of coming up the bottom steps of the dugout. Yeah. And Febles was standing at the top of the dugout of those steps. And Turner, like, he reached out as if to, like, tickle him or something. And they looked like they were just having a grand old time out there. And I don't know. I definitely underscores the fact that they have a relationship.
Right.
So, I mean, beyond the human element of that, you would think that someone, even if just for 1 year in Boston last year, that Febles does know Turner and his capabilities. So that's also a positive. And certainly, I mean, you see how the trickle-down effect will be like for a lot of these other guys as well.
Yeah.
But certainly the first thing I noticed was that not happening, because it feels like in years past you would have seen the wind at third as Turner's motoring around at 39 years old.
Listen, we've seen a lot in the Blue Jays dugout over the years. We have seen dancing. We have seen home run jackets. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. famously mixing cocktails, but tickling, I think, it had been a while at least. So that was it's also fun to see. And of course, you know, Febles and Turner had last season together, and then they come into a new clubhouse, the two of them as new guys, and there's really a lot of value in just finding that familiar face, and I think that's what we're seeing here. It's very clear that they have a very good relationship. If you take notice, whenever Justin Turner homers, just keep an eye on that third baseline when it's time to greet the third base coach there with the intensity that JT will greet Febles there. It's kind of fun to see that there's that relationship going as well, which in turn honestly helps both guys sort of build a little more chemistry with the rest of their teammates here. So pretty nice to see. And really what we saw today was just vintage JT doing what he does best.
Absolutely. He was a lot of fun to watch, and 4 runs in a 9-run outing from the Blue Jays offense, definitely helping Kevin Gausman, as you mentioned. 69 pitches, 4 1/3, no walks, 6 strikeouts. Great stuff from Gausman, and he did not look all that bothered by the home run he gave up to Rosarena early on. I kind of thought to myself, what's the result going to be? What's the bounce back going to be? But Gausman, and we know this over the last couple of years, has never been someone who gets all that fazed by pretty much anything that goes on the mound. I still think the most emotion I've seen him show on the mound was when he got kind of yelled at was he ejected from against the Orioles at Camden Yards for arguing a balk or whatever it was.
Right.
So
that did happen.
That was a couple years ago.
Right,
so anyways, you don't see him get too fazed by anything. So good to see him go out there, and good to see him both kind of straddle the line between not getting hit around and getting the work in, because you knew he was going to be on some kind of limit, but also, to your point, being built up towards maybe getting him towards 90 pitches, because that's a difficult thing to balance, right?
Like, yes.
You want him to go out there and pitch well, not get hit, go deep-ish into a ball game, but also you want him to get his pitches in, because you can't just have him throw 50 pitches. He needs to kind of continue working towards some kind of goal. And so it seems like the perfect scenario happened for Gausman today, that he got the run support, relatively low stress. You know, pitchers like to use the term stressful innings.
Yes.
Not a lot of stressful innings for Gausman today.
Not a ton. And that does help. You and I spoke about this pregame show. Gausman is very used to not pitching with a ton of run support, but when he comes in and the Blue Jays score twice in the first inning, he allows that opposite field home run to Randy Arozarena, which honestly, what are you going to do, right? Arozarena just very clearly is locked in right now to start the season.
Yeah,
and that's what we're
seeing. Yeah.
Incredible start on both ends of the ball. He also, you know, stole some runs away from the Blue Jays.
He ran face first to the left field wall
so
to catch the ball.
You don't see that every day, and you don't see guys that can actually make those plays. And so, no, Gausman should not be super concerned about that. We know that Randy is a showman, and we know that this is what he does, and keeping sort of an even keel there is in everyone's best interest. And Gausman is truly one of the best in doing that. He is the steady hand of this rotation and exactly who the Blue Jays needed on the mound here to sort of right the ship, let's say, come out of the trap with a series split, which honestly, at this point, it's all they could help for or hope for, really.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones here on Jays Talk. Russ from New Jersey joins us. Russ, what's on your mind, man? How's it going?
Good afternoon, guys. So it's four games into the season. I'm not going to get carried away about anything. The one thing you just also got to watch from Turner is I think some points this year you're gonna think about how Matt Chapman was your third baseman defensively, because you know Blue Jays, a great defensive team last year, made five errors in the first four games. So you know, like I said, it's four games into the season. I'm not going to get carried away, but he has two games in a row he's made an error, and today was a routine ground ball that he just didn't make the right throw. On the plus side, Vladdy Guerrero, five walks in the first four games. Now, you know, there were times last year, you know me, I call the show a lot, that you think he was pressing too hard. And he, you know, Vladdy Guerrero is the guy, yeah, he, you know, he's going to hit 50 homers, you know. And I think it started to get to him because he wasn't, you know, from the top producers in home runs. But the only way you're going to get to that is if you lay off the bad pitches and you don't press, then you'll see some better pitches to hit. You know, he only hit one homer series. That's fine. But he got five walks, which, you know, pitchers are going to figure out that he's not going to press, hopefully, and he's not going to try to hit, you know, a ball, you know, over the wall that's outside the strike zone. So you hope that, you know, gets him better pitches to hit in the, you know, in other situations, you know, in down the road. Dalton Varsho, 140. It's four games into the season, but I'm already like, I just, he's tough to watch on the plate. You know, he was tough to watch last year. He had a couple spurts. You know, he got the big hit against the Dodgers, we remember, and he got a big home run here and there. But you know, his defense is great, but his offense is just, you sometimes wonder, like, just, you thought, think he has all the tools, and especially Gurriel starting out also really good in Arizona this year. And, you know, you gave the kid catcher up, who was really good for them, especially in the playoffs. So that's my comments. Like I said, four games, no reason to get carried away either way. And, you know, go play Houston. Let's, but, you know, at the end of April, or I would say 30, 40 games, maybe Memorial Day, you really take a look, okay, where this team is. So I'll wait and see, but those were my comments for the first four games.
Hey, appreciate it, Russ. Thanks for joining us here on Jays Talk. Thanks for the call. First of all, wholeheartedly agree on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because, yeah, I mean, would I like to see more home runs from Vladdy, especially for my 40-plus home run prediction for Vladdy? absolutely, yes. But to Russ's points, the walks, and he clearly is focusing on swinging at a very specific part of the zone. Like, pitches in the zone, but even at a very specific part of where the zone is, right? Like, the middle pitches. And, yeah, like he got yesterday a little bit. He got to swing. He got fooled, and he swung on one that was down and away. And today, I think he got called out on strikes and one he was clearly not pleased with. And you see the replay, and the ball was, like, right on the line, right at the edge of the zone. It catches the zone. Terrific pitch, so not much you can do there. Pitchers are going to win those battles sometimes, but his discipline has been really good. I've been very impressed with his eye because we saw that a lot in 2021, Julia, and we didn't see it enough in the last couple of years, which is why I got, and I'm sure a lot of listeners, got so frustrated with him because you know he's capable of it. So it's nice to see him get off to a good start to Russ's point over these first four games.
Three walks today, which is pretty phenomenal when you know, all things considered for Vladdy. And we really saw a lot of what you just mentioned here, Show, which is, you know, he worked up a couple of 3-0 counts, and the pitcher will come in with a breaking ball that does catch the zone, and he is just looking at it, right? Completely unfazed. It really doesn't matter to him right now if that pitch is in the zone or not, especially when he can work these hitter favorable counts, that means that he can be a little more selective. He can wait for what he's actually looking for and what he knows that he can drive. And if that doesn't come, then the pitchers are going to have to beat him in different ways. And when you put yourself in that position with the type of power and the type of talent that Guerrero has, then you're in a very good place to succeed. I do think that, you know, what we saw yesterday with a couple of chases and sort of a regression perhaps to 2023, you could also see that he was either shaking his head or nodding or truly focused on, okay, what was it that I did there that I'm trying not to do moving forward? And then you come into today and you see that pay almost instant dividends with three walks. He will hit more home runs if he keeps doing that, because he is going to force pitchers to challenge him. And when they do, he's going to be ready as well, as we know that he can be. You see a more relaxed Vladdy this season, I think, and that's what is showing up at the plate right now.
Let's go back to the phones. Greg in Hamilton joining us here on Jays Talk. Greg, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so I was just thinking, so one of the questions I had was IKF. I know we paid a lot of money for this guy, and he had a good game today, but I'm just wondering, like, we have Schneider as an option. Why wouldn't we be using Schneider and then using IKF and Biggio to battle out for the other spot?
I think that's a valid question, Greg. Let me ask you, though, because I was thinking about this during the game as well. How do you split the difference between what Davis Schneider does, certainly what Biggio does, who you mentioned, and even someone like Ernie Clement, who played pretty well today?
Okay, yeah. So that's the thing for me. Even when they signed IKF, I didn't get it, because you've got Clement, which I think he should also have, like, he should probably play every day on a decent team. And then I think Schneider should play every day. And then it's like, then you have Biggio and IKF. I just don't see, because at the end of the day, we needed an extra bat, right? Like, we're waiting for the extra bat to come. And I think Clement or Schneider could be that extra bat. I don't think IKF or Biggio could be that power bat that we need. I think Clement could hit 20 home runs, but I think Schneider could hit even more than that.
Hey, I feel you, Greg. Appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us here on Jays Talk. Hey, Davis Schneider, it's funny because I feel like we haven't talked a lot about Davis Schneider, even in the spring to now, because it was kind of like a given that he was going to make the team because of what happened last year. And then we just hadn't seen him a whole lot, Julia, in this until today, essentially. And then he hits the bomb. And it's just funny, when he hit the home run, I thought to myself, oh yeah, David Schneider's on this team. And it's funny because a lot of the conversation has been around, like, how many games is IKF going to start? Biggio had a good couple of games to start the year. And Ernie Clement deserves a lot of praise as well. It's true that, like, there are only so many positions to go around. I personally do prefer letting one guy kind of take the reins and try and run with it a little bit more. On the text line, too, to Greg's point, I see a lot of texts around Ernie Clement and just how the splits will go for the infield, like the Alex of Toronto, all in all happy with the split against Tampa Bay, good showcase, some of the new faces, love that Schneider is keeping consistent with his debuts. Do we think Clement has earned everyday status yet? I see here, Jen in Toronto, Clement looked good on D. Mike in Toronto, Ernie can really pick it. Can he do the same at third? I think so. Probably a better regular solution than IKF with a better bat. And Andrew H. in London, I'm so impressed by Clement, by both his offense and defense. He needs to be in the lineup every day right now. Nice to see Schneider with the home run as well. It's just, I do feel like it would probably behoove both those younger guys to get more playing time. It's just, do you issue a guy like Biggio, who's been around a little bit longer and had a good year last year, certainly as well, I can't ignore it, and IKF, who, you know, might be viewed as a bit of a sunk cost because he's getting paid a lot more money, but they also went out and got this guy. So how do you parse basically all four of those dudes?
Yeah, that's always going to be, a puzzle for the Blue Jays to solve. I do think that when you look at Davis Schneider, wherever you put him in the field, you're probably going to lose a little bit on defense, right? He is very much thought of as an offense first type of guy, and he has made significant strides with his defense. But the truth is that the offense still drives how much he plays and where in the lineup he plays and all of that. So it is difficult with what the Blue Jays are trying to achieve and being an elite defensive team. That is one of the main reasons why they went out and got IKF, right? A guy that, sure, can put the bat on the ball with some consistency, but really offers them tremendous defense wherever you put him in the infield, and who can play a pretty serviceable outfield as well. There's more to the IKF deal than simply what he can do at the plate. And so the Blue Jays are probably going to give him every opportunity to find some consistency offensively because of what he brings on the defensive end. When it comes to the other guys, I do think that with the start that he's had, Cavan should be in the lineup pretty consistently here. And Clement is doing a little bit more every day to earn that everyday status. And it does seem like each year there's a guy that kind of surprises us like that, right? We spoke of Whit Merrifield in the pregame and how Clement is starting to look like that guy who doesn't necessarily project to be an everyday player, but he just performs his way into it because the Blue Jays need it, right? The Blue Jays need a guy that can put the bat on the ball. Another thing, we saw Clement actually hit for power today. He just missed on a home run, which was also very impressive to see because we know that the contact ability is off the chart. If he can stay off of double plays, which is a negative that we have also seen in the past couple games, but if he can add a little bit more pop to that contact ability, then the Blue Jays will have no option but to play him every day, and that's what we're seeing. At shortstop, more than held his own, I want to say. Some very, very impressive plays. And now you kind of wonder, what's next? How would the Blue Jays keep this guy out of the lineup if he is pretty much thriving at every stop here?
Yeah, the home run, or the almost home run, the rocket he hit that was caught, which was the ball that Arozarena faced first caught as he went into the wall, crashing into the wall. Would have been a home run in, I think, 5 ballparks, including the Rogers Center. So, I mean, if that was, this game was here, then yeah, you would be talking even more positively. Right, but Ernie Clement, I do
think get them home.
Yeah, exactly. Bring them home next week, right? Against the Mariners next Monday. Can't wait. I do think with Clement too, before we take a quick break here, Julia, is just he, like, to your point about there's always like a fan favorite too. I've always found, and you know, I remember in 2022, that guy was Santiago Espinal.
Absolutely.
And you know, you go back several
years. Former All-Star.
Former All-Star. Espinal. That's true. And you know, and I remember in the 2015, 2016 years too, like that guy kind of felt like Ryan Goins. Like, I'm not talking about a fan favorite, like from a star perspective, but a fan favorite, someone who has that, like, you know, to borrow a hockey term, like some little grit and sandpaper to their game, and you know, a little lunch pail type character, right? And I think that guy was Espinal for a little while. It had been Goins. It's been a lot of different guys, but it feels like early on it is Ernie Clement. I think last year it might have been David Schneider, certainly, because he blew onto the scene out of nowhere. But gosh, Ernie Clement's a lot of fun. I hope for the best for him because, yeah, he makes some nice picks, like to Mike in Toronto's point on the text line, some nice backhand stabs and some smooth deliveries, exchanges from his glove to his hand to Vladdy first, including that leaping throw, and Vladdy made the acrobatic move to keep his foot on the bag. It was really great stuff. So I definitely want to see more from Ernie Clement. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up on the phone lines, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Go back to the text line as well. Blue Jays beat the Rays 9-2 to secure the series split. More Jays talk after this.
You know, whether it's in meetings or, you know, during games, I think it's, you know, it's pretty deliberate what he's done over his career. And, you know, it definitely rubs off on some other guys. You see Vladdy taking some walks and George taking some walks. Not that that's what we're looking for, but I think just kind of getting your pitch to hit and not budging. I mean, I think he keeps himself pretty level-headed in those moments. You know, I know he said that, whether it's runners in scoring position or postseason, whatever it may be. But it's just having an approach and sticking to it, you know. A lot of times in those spots, guys get a little bit too big or whatever. You know, you could see what he's trying to do every single time.
That's John Schneider chatting about Justin Turner and his big day following a 9-2 Blue Jays win in which Turner drove in 4 runs, including a solo shot as the cherry on top. Show Ali, Julia Kreutz here with you across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Yeah, Justin Turner. It reminds me, Julia, of Turner had said this to Blair and Barker when we had gotten him on the podcast feed before they came back for the spring. And one of the things JT said to Blair was, you know, he was asked, I think Barker actually asked the question, but it was about Vladdy specifically. And Turner said, I want to see Vladdy do less. And I remember that so vividly because it feels like, kind of to Schneider's point, he has rubbed off on Vladdy. And to Russ's point, the caller from earlier, it certainly feels like Vladdy is kind of, you know, less is more in terms of that approach.
Yeah, the key word is one that Schneider used just now, which is deliberate, right? JT is very deliberate in what he's looking for and what he's laying off. And if a little bit of that can rub off on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., then we should expect a pretty good season from Vladdy. And this is why you bring the veterans into the clubhouse, right? And if the veterans can produce the way that we are seeing JT produce, then all the better.
Let's go to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Chris in Brampton. Chris, what's on your mind? Welcome to Jays Talk.
Hi, Shaw. I'm back again. Julia, thanks for taking my call. Happy Easter to all of you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I'm still looking for my Easter egg my wife hid, but anyway, I have a comment and two questions for you folks. My first comment is Kevin Gausman. I saw him pitch a first game of the preseason, and I was so impressed. It's like he never stopped. And today was just, you know, a reminder that great pitchers, no matter what adversity they face, they find a way to do it. However, my first question to you is, as a reporter vis-a-vis fan, after losing, we're 1-2 going into the first game. What did you actually expect to happen? We know we wanted to win, but what did you expect to happen? And my last question is, during the spring, we were talking about Donnie Baseball having an effect on this team and the impact he could have. Has he made that impact so far in relation to Vladdy, Springer, Varsho? Thanks for taking my call and enjoy your day.
Hey, Chris, thanks again, man. Happy Easter. Thanks for calling into Jays Talk. So the Donnie Baseball thing, because of course he is now the offensive, quote unquote, offensive coordinator, Julia. I do tend to believe there has been some effect, but I truly don't think it's quite as simple as saying Don Mattingly's telling Vladdy to hold the bat. Like he's choking up on the bat more. There has been stuff made about where Vladdy's new-ish batting stance and the bat a little bit above his head, for example. And he has changed it to a certain extent. So maybe that can be credited to Don Mattingly. It's just there are so many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to this Blue Jays. You know, how much is Matt Hague involved in what Vladdy is doing? How much is it Don Mattingly? We've heard still about Edwin and Victor Martinez being around the team, right? But I'm prepared to give Don Mattingly at least a modicum of credit here.
Yeah, the big thing with bringing Mattingly into this position is actually minimizing the amount of cooks in the kitchen, right? If obviously, you know, there's a ton of people that are working on the offense here and bringing up projections and numbers and stats and all of that, but Mattingly's role ends up being just that of communicating with the players and making sure that they understand what the game plan is. It's very difficult to quantify or to sort of pinpoint where the improvements are coming from,
right?
But you need to give the coaching staff some credit too when things start to go better than what we have seen before. At the end of the day, the player is at the plate and it's just him, right? It's just him up there trying to do what he does best. And if they can keep that mentality going, then the credit should go to the hitter. But when you look at the team behind them, you can also see that there have been some pretty big strides in that regard. So yeah, I'm not in any way against giving Don Mattingly some credit here. It is really early in the season, but I do think that early on, what we can do is start picking up on certain trends. This series was not great for that because it was such a mixed bag offensively. We saw the good, the bad, and the ugly for sure. But if you have Vladdy laying off those pitches a little bit more, if you have Justin Turner consistently pulling the ball, even Dalton Varsho, who sure hasn't necessarily saw a ton of results, but he's hitting the ball hard and he's actually, you know, getting to the pitches that are more hittable. So these are the trends that you sort of look for early on in the season, but I don't think we're going to have such a well-defined idea of what this team actually is, what its identity is, until they make it home and we can actually, you know, see the differences between playing on the road and playing at Rogers Center and all of that. We know that Varsho did not have a fun time playing at Rogers Center this year. So that's also something that, you know, you need to take into consideration. But so far, I would say that you kind of hope that the middle two games there were outliers and maybe a little bit of a blast from the past. And what we saw in game one and game four is the trajectory that the Blue Jays are actually going in. You know, we didn't talk about George Springer because he didn't do much today, but we are also seeing him sort of go back to what he does in pulling the ball, in being very, very diligent with what he's swinging at and what he's not swinging at. If these guys, especially the veterans, if they can lead the way of that movement, then the rest of the lineup will fall in line as well. And so I would say very, very big positives. It all continues in Houston, though.
And the Chris's point on Gausman, I think we got largely what we expected. You know what I mean? Like he looked good. He wasn't overtaxed. He made quick work of the guys he was supposed to make quick work of. He still challenged guys with the fastball. Fastball had some life to it. Even when he hit Jose Siri, it had some life to it.
And then 98.
At 98 miles an hour. So, I mean, that's tremendous from him. The splitter looked good. It lines him up now, I guess, for Saturday, if I'm thinking correctly, because I guess in theory he could pitch on Friday too because there's the off day in there. So depending on how you want to, if you want to slightly reorder the starting rotation, in theory you could go Bowden Francis tomorrow, Berríos, Bassett, then there's a day off after Wednesday. Thursday's a day off. And then in theory, you could have Gausman pitch on quote-unquote normal rest.
You could.
On Friday, it would be Gausman-Stroman in that matchup, which would be really fun to watch,
that
and the Yankees home opener. And then you could just give Kikuchi an extra day, and he could just pitch on the Saturday, right? You could get, right. Or you could just have them go the regular order and have Kikuchi pitch Friday and Gausman pitch Saturday.
It may also depend on where the Blue Jays sort of assess that Gausman is health-wise. He looks healthy, and it's clear that he is healthy, but it may be better to give him that extra off day so that he can, you know, continue the buildup and make sure that he's healthy here for the long term.
And that's exactly what the Blue Jays want. But he looked great today on this Easter Sunday. And Julia, always fun doing it with you. Thanks for spending Easter Sunday with me.
My pleasure. Happy Easter. Thank you so much for having me. And we're here again next weekend, aren't we?
We are here again next weekend. So maybe we'll be talking about a Gausman start. We'll have to see. Appreciate you being with us on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Lévis, Quebec and West Quebec City. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia Kreutz, Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Nick Blackmore, Tom Young, I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us. As Julia said, the Houston series starts tomorrow with Bowden Francis on the mound. Blair and Barker will have Jay Stoff for the whole series and for the Yankees home opener on Friday. Julia and I will be back to wrap up that Yankee series next weekend. Have a great Easter. We'll talk to you later.